this life, gotta make your own deals, chase your own thrills, pay your own bills. On the outer loop, sitting on chrome wheels, phone synced up to the newest chrome bills. On air, who cares if it's right or wrong? I just care which guests they invited on. Without a minute to stall, and there was liquor involved with some hype songs. And the night is young, right on cue, the talking begins. And we check out what Steve Bill's got on the blends. A bit grimy, a backdrop from the late 80s to the mid 90s, till it finally takes us to a rhythm that works. And K-Chrome spits a verse that he didn't rehearse. Both flex skills, proving it's all in. So gather round for the newest installment, Chrome Bill.
Chuck, what episode are we working with?
Yo.
Episode 82 of Chrome Bills. In the house, we have the one and only K Chromosone, Steve Bills, C's Mikes.
Who are you?
And our special guest for this evening.
Who are you?
DMC champion DJ ID. What's up, man? How you doing?
That gunshot was a little too natural for you, ID.
Why don't we're in Berlin. It's only right.
Body more. Let's not touch that one right now.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much for coming by to join us. Touching on last week's episode, we had Odyssey on, and one of the things we discussed was how everybody sort of came up in this scene that doesn't get as much recognition as it deserves. You were also one of the people that came from that scene.
Hey, thank you, man.
You're originally from VA, right?
Originally from Fairfax, but I rep Fairfax County.
Okay.
Not so much Loudoun County, even though I grew up there, but... yeah, always repping the DMV in general, though.
Okay.
I put on for everyone.
And you actually, you hosted the DMC final in DC a couple weeks ago,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was just last week. And actually, it's quite an upset. It was Throwdown from Arlington.
Okay,
you
nice.
Know, beat out former two-time U.S. champ and DJ Esquire from Brooklyn, and then local favorite As One from Rockville.
Wait, hold on. Is that DJ Syr or is that DJ Esquire? I'm going to see if you remember that joke. Do you, when we were at the New York one and Red Alert kept botching his name? And they were chanting. They were like, who am I going to bring on next?
Oh, that's right. Oh, my God. That was pretty embarrassing.
He kept saying, like one he of kept those, saying SYR.
He said
but
SYR.
He was just butchering everyone's names. You know, those like, I mean, props to Red Alert, but there comes a time where it's just like, you know what? You're just a little too old.
Yeah.
It was the equivalent. I don't know if you guys see the Pacquiao Mayweather press conference. Bob Arum was talking.
Yeah.
And so I just Bob saw him Arum on PTI. Just,
yeah, he kept going and going, and it was just like, stop.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Once you get to be old man status, though, that's what you earn. Yeah. You earn the right to sit up there and mumble your way through it.
Yeah.
You know? Well, here's the thing, though. You do need an environment that serves as train tracks, because once that train of thought gets going, it'll keep going.
Right.
It needs a destination.
Yes.
You know, it needs someone on the other end being like, we got it.
But I feel like everybody has that old guy in their office who just rambles on. You know, I remember this office in 1964. I used to sit right next to you or something, you know?
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just me.
Right. Did you have any, does that make you nervous? Like, that you're like, I hope I don't make an ass of myself hosting one of these things.
No, I actually love hosting these things. I mean, I aside from DJing, I'm a master impersonator.
I've noticed. Yeah. You've got, on your albums, you've got a lot of voices coming out of left
crazy
field.
Voices here and there, you know, so it gives me some time to do some just general improv.
Right.
So.
I can't tell if you're joking. Is that true?
Oh, he's absolutely telling
absolutely.
The truth.
Yeah.
What voice
this Smeagol would never do that. This Smeagol would never lie.
Holy shit.
he was, Carlos, he wasn't expecting the voices out of the mouse.
Anyways,
the one that comes to mind for me.
Person. For our audience who can't see right now, that's literally the same person.
Wow.
That's ill.
The one that comes to mind for me is on the First Name Basis album. There's an interlude and you're doing like normal talking and then you jump into this thing and talking about colon. You're also a hairy Greek.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That shit made the album.
That's legendary. I didn't realize that
actually,
was him.
If you check Recognize from Miami, he... if you check some of his older mixtapes, I do a couple voices on there.
Okay.
They're somewhere on the internet.
Like just cutting up, trying to be funny?
Yeah. I mean, there was one, I did the Gollum on one mixtape, and then I did an Arnold, I think, another for him.
Get me out of here. You bring the turntable.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. I'm coming.
Do you get a credit for that? Like, is it like featuring Arnold Schwarzenegger as DJ ID?
No, since it was a mixtape, I think it was just like
having fun.
Yeah. You know, yeah. It was featuring Arnold.
Okay. That's dope.
Yeah, well, you had, there was one, I think I might have even hit you up. It's, I forget what song, but like you do like a woman's voice very well. And I think I hit you up and I was like, how did you, what did you use on your computer to modulate that? You're like, I didn't.
Yeah. That was actually, that was the first album I did. It's called Swollen Dome.
Right.
And so we did like, it was a pixelated music video at the time. And yeah,
I did the girl's voice.
And, but yeah, that was years ago. I don't know if I can.
It's, you just kind of nailed it now.
Yeah, somewhat.
Is that something you want to make like a permanent? Well, so you said, you mentioned improv while you're hosting. Will you start breaking out different impersonations?
Yeah, every now and then, you know. But I think for me, like I had a short stint in the past. Like I had an audition or an opportunity to audition for like a TV show. Or not a TV show, cartoon.
Okay.
But that required moving out to LA and all that stuff. So it would have been fun, but yeah. If I did that, I probably wouldn't have done music, and I probably wouldn't have won the DMCs. And
right, right.
So
when did you get like really serious about DJing?
DJing, well, I started in '97, and I started competing 2002. I would say like
so 5 years of hardcore practice.
Yeah, like, pretty much. I had an opportunity to like enter the DMC maybe in like say '99 or 2000, but I didn't want the kid factor to be a gimmick, so I'm 28 now.
Are you dissing A-Track right now?
I'm actually, what's crazy, A-Track for me was like the blueprint, you know? So I was like, if I needed to get somewhat close to his level just to even like make my debut. Right. So when I did make my debut, it kind of caught a lot of people by surprise. Shout out to Rags. I hate saying this, but...
Who are you?
I ended up beating him on my first DJ battle. But ever since then, he's always given me props.
He's actually going to be here in 2 weeks. He'll probably tell us.
Big shout out to Rags.
Rags, I love you, Grandpa.
And where was this? I feel like I remember seeing you either at Capitol Ballroom or Bohemian. I mean, this was like early 2000s.
So, yeah, like that. So I did Bohemian like probably 10 years ago or 11 years ago. But prior to that, the battle I'm talking about with Rags was the Guitar Center battles when they used to have the spinoff. And so so that was 1 week, and then like a couple weeks later I did the DMC at Nation. Rest in peace to Nation, which is now the Nationals parking lot.
Right.
at the time the competition level was just super huge, like compared to how it is now. Like you would have 40 or 50 people show up just for an elimination. So like to make top 10, which I did, which was like my goal. Like it was like a huge, huge deal.
Yeah, because you had to beat what, four people?
Well, just to, I mean, once you make the top 10, it's kind of like you're someone to kind of look out for. Like at the time, now it's the quality isn't as good.
Yeah.
So now it's a top 6. You know, so like it makes it. They really have to filter it out some more, you know? So
I think like 97 is when turntablism was like really starting to take off, and it probably peaked in like 2002, you know?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. I mean, it, in general, well,
the peaked interest, I'm not saying talent, I'm saying interest wise, people were super into it from those like 5 years, give or take a year.
Yeah. I think the huge problem right now, I think, is DJs trying to satisfy other DJs, you know?
Okay.
And so they're totally neglecting the,
it's like people, a big circle jerk.
The audience. Exactly. You know, and so yeah, and but part of that too, like for example, Craze, only due to win it, you know, 3 years in a row.
Right.
He was actually helping me with my world final set last year, and to a lot of people, he's considered, you know, the Jordan of battling and,
for sure,
and all that
for sure.
But I even told him straight up. I was like, "Yo, dude, you ruined the game." You know, straight up. Just like, and what, it's the
like
same.
He set the bar too high?
Yeah, he set the bar too high, and he's continuing to set the bar even, you know, higher.
Whenever he drops like a random routine, like it's always, no pun intended, it's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy, you know. So it's inspiration for me to kind of go back and, you know, rework. But it's really like a Debbie Downer for a lot of other cats, you know, because they're like, but most important thing I could tell you know, like, or give advice to, is just musicality.
Yeah.
If you're funky and you do something that people can, and also show stuff to people who aren't into music, you know, like show your routines to friends and ask them, like, does this make sense?
Right.
You know, stuff like that. So,
well, to that point, I mean, in one of the illest quotes I've ever seen about anybody, but particularly from who it is, DJ Qbert actually said about you, just as B-boys are dancers, ID reminds us that DJs are entertainers. And you have such a good grasp of, you know, being musicality and all that stuff. But every time I listen to your stuff, it's always entertaining, it's funny, it's insightful. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And you've got a persona for that. Do you find that a lot of DJs just strictly stick to the battle stuff? Or do you feel like they always add that little component to their live show too?
It's a combination of both, I would say. You know, very rarely nowadays, outside of, you know, like Qbert or Kid Koala, or like many people putting out, like, you know, recordings, you know, as like turntablists and all that. Yeah, very rarely. I mean, it's been a while since I've really seen someone really do both, you know, be musical, show a bit of their personality.
Right.
And also on top of that, continue the battle. The only person that comes to my mind right now that is really well balanced is a dude by the name of DJ Brace, who actually won Scribble Jam years ago. He actually for his Turntables album, he won a Juno Award, which is like the equivalent of like a Grammy.
Okay.
Like in Canada.
Wow. Okay.
And so, I mean, he was in the World Finals last year with the team category. He still continues to put out music on the regular. So yeah, I mean, he's right now, he's like one of the only ones compared to, like, say 15 years ago, it was a way bigger field. And you'll still have the regulars, Qbert, Kid Koala, D Styles, Scratch Pickles, they'll still put out stuff, you know, but yeah, there aren't as many new cats, you know. And I just barely caught on to that last tail wave of it, you
right
know?
Right. Now, are you friendly with these cats, or is there still sort of
I hate them.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
Do you have beef with any other DJs?
Yeah, but they're not worth talking about on here, because okay, I don't got time for those dudes.
Got you.
Yeah. But no.
Like, is this all like YouTube comment shit, or like?
Actually, it's not only is it you, it's more Facebook comments.
Okay.
But it's like you're married with a kid, and you're still resorting to this level of.
Right,
you know,
yeah. Interaction.
Yeah, actually wanted to apologize to you, but
no. What's funny? Actually, when the first time I went to Qbert's house, it was the funniest thing, because I went with two of my boys, DJ K Razor and DJ Unknown. One's from Miami, the other one's from New York. So we're all scratch nerds. And before Qbert, so Qbert has like the octagon,
the octagon.
You know,
sure.
Of like, you know, eight turntables. And before you know, Qbert let us in. You guys want anything? Blah blah blah. He was in the kitchen. So he led us to the octagon. He didn't come in and start cutting, but like it was so like fanboyish, because like we're like trying to like polish
that's
up
the biggest
on our
shit ever.
Yeah, like what's our tightest cut that we can do, and like, you know, get down before he comes into the room. And all we're looking for was just that one little like
nod, or like, oh, that was tight.
He's like, oh yeah, and so yeah,
that's awesome.
Qbert's like the nicest guy though, isn't he?
Yeah, and yeah. So I just realized, I was like, you know what? I think he does that to everyone. So anyone he sees cutting. But it was still a dope experience. Yeah,
hell yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, you've done quite a bit of traveling, you've met a lot of people. You actually just told us you moved to when you're like, we just moved, I was gonna be like, oh, like he lives in Frederick, Maryland now.
we moved to the land down under.
Okay,
we're in Australia now.
All right.
Yeah, I got my little lady here.
There you go.
Who are you?
Who are you?
When did you guys get married?
Damn, how long has it been? 2012.
Okay.
I'm horrible with dates. I don't even remember. So check this out.
When's your anniversary?
January 3rd.
Yeah, you remember that. Smart man.
He looked at
looked at her after he said it.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy is my sister and her sister were born on the same day, and I still don't remember the birthday.
Holy shit.
Yeah, how crazy is that?
I can't help you, man.
But you're not worried about that, like hanging out with them if you fuck that up. You got to remember the anniversary.
Yeah, that's the most important one, especially for immigration.
So who are some dope Australian turntablists? Who are you going to hang out with over there? Isn't Koala from Australia?
Surprisingly, he's from Canada.
Oh, no, there's another. I'm maybe there's a guy who looks like Koala.
There's a DJ Sheep.
DJ Sheep.
Is there really?
He's from Australia.
He kind of has to. They have to have one of those.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Actually, one of the dopest turntablists is a DJ by the name of Dexter.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah,
Dexter.
Yeah.
He looks like Koala a little bit, right? Okay.
Yeah. I'm actually good friends with his older brother, Kuyas. They both like were battling at the same time.
He did like a Rage Against the Machine video with like, they did he does a guitar solo from Rage Against the Machine on the turntable. Yeah. It was
nasty,
very sick. Very sick.
Really nasty.
Yeah,
dude.
Really cool.
That's sick.
There's another dude by the name of Samurai as well. So the scene is actually really dope. I'm going to be doing the... They have their 8-city DMC tour in August. So I'm going to be doing that, which is just basically all the major regionals, judge that, and then I'll do the national final at the end. And New Zealand as well.
Okay.
So
how involved is that? Is that guy Tony still involved in the DMC stuff?
Bloody Tony.
Like,
Was he
just the host, or was like he's involved in like day-to-day business?
No,
right?
No. So DMC is like a family-run... Like,
Christine, right? Her name is Christine something?
Christine and Tony Prince.
Okay.
So both of them, they've been running it since, what, 85, 84? And then they have their niece, Sally.
Okay.
Who's involved as well, and... couple other people, but still holding it down, you know.
I mean, they're making good money off of the product, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, it's definitely nowhere near like, say, like the Red Bull battle that's been going on, like the three style competition. Because I mean, it's like with that, like you have a ridiculous amount of like,
it's like corporate
promotion.
Sponsorship,
exactly. It's just like with any sort of major battle, where it, not even just DJ related, but. But yeah, they're still holding on, and it's still, in my opinion, still the
That's the one. DMC's always been they set the standard, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So you know, once you have any sort of title, you know, then you're golden.
So. Right.
So when you started learning or getting into turntablism heavy, did you go back in time and start to watch like the real early battles? Did you watch like Aladdin or somebody like that, or like Stevie D or Swamp and stuff?
Yeah.
Like that?
So like.
I'm sorry.
That was a burp.
That was a good one.
Do you want the water? There's water in the fridge over there if you want. Okay. All right.
Actually, I got a bootleg of the '94 U.S. Finals. That was the one Rada one, Rock Rada. Rest in peace. That was what really intrigued me. And then the '98 U.S. Finals, the one Craze one.
That was Craze, yeah.
Yeah, and so for me, like, I mean, I was just anxious about everything DJ related. I needed to have it, you know, but in particular turntablism, you know,
right.
So, cause that was the thing. I was like, cause I mastered mixing first on my own without the help of like any sort of tutorial or whatever at the time.
You just picked it up.
Yeah. Just kind of picked it up. You know, the only thing I really needed help down the line was actually just the counting of bars, but actually like was able to get the beat matching down and just like, you know, just strictly off ear.
Yeah.
And then once I figured out, you know, scratching part of it, I was like, okay, I think I'm gonna put a little more effort into this, you know, rather than just mixing, you know. Nowadays I think I was just one out of many, you know, at that time. And so nowadays there's a couple kids that are I guess I would, you know, from the YouTube generation, that they, you know, they're about 14, 15 years old. They'll go back on YouTube and look at all the older DMCs from...
Yeah, think of how easy it is for them to study now.
Yeah.
Like, we used to have VHS tapes. The quality was terrible. You know, you're getting third and fourth generation tapes.
Yeah.
And trying to figure out what's going on there.
Yeah. and they have a DJ school on top of that. You know, there's like a DJ school in almost like every major...
Well, and Serato too, right? Because you can basically have any record you want.
Because cutting up break records.
Like, I'm curious, like, what, from a collection standpoint, like where did you start digging when you first started getting into DJing? Is there a lot of record spots out in Virginia, or did you I always hear the stories of people inheriting collections, and that's kind of where the craze starts.
Well I lucked out with my older brother was a DJ as well, so like he was the one that actually got me introduced to it. And so we shared a collection for a while. There's a spot in Fairfax that we would go, it was like a CD tape and record collection
game
spot.
Game Exchange or whatever.
So we would check that out. There'd be some dope stuff there. I think the most important thing from a turntablist perspective was how expensive doubles of a record were. You know, if you just wanted doubles, you're looking at $20, you know.
Right.
And so because of that, we were kind of forced to work like if I want to come up with like a beat juggle, I was forced to use those records for the next, you know, few weeks. Whereas now with Serato, I feel people are somewhat a little bit spoiled because it's like if they don't figure out a pattern or something, they'll just quickly switch songs, right. you know, for nothing.
And they haven't invested in the physical product that they're going in between, or exactly. The digital product in that case.
Yeah, exactly. So it doesn't necessarily make you a better DJ. It's more convenient. But, you know, there is a technique to everything that we do, you know, mm-hmm. And it takes time.
Yeah. So how many hours do you think you put, like, I don't know, say your 2014 routine, how many times have you actually run through that routine?
Hundreds. Maybe even thousands. I don't know.
Okay.
The crazy thing about that was I had to take 2013 off just to work on that 2014 set, you know?
Oh.
So, like, you know, one juggle will, you know, like, for example, the Skrillex routine out of the 2014 set, I started on that, like, July of 2013. And the different variations I've gone through it, like it peaked maybe in September of 2014, you know?
Holy
so,
shit.
Yeah. So just like one 90-second portion, uh-huh. you know, can take 13 months, you know? And then you still go along with the process of, you know, but also that's just for me. You know, there are people who pump out like, you know, material pretty quickly. I try not to be repetitive. You know, there's always that, you know, the ultimate prize, you know? In my hand, you know, and also too, like a lot of people were asking me, like with this coming year, with 2015, if Switch doesn't defend, you know, I can go straight to the World Finals. You know, they were just like, oh, just come up with something. I was like, well, I don't want to half-ass anything. You know, I'd rather people right. remember last year's set. You know, since it won the, you know, the online World Final, and I got my title, I'm happy with any, you know, DMC World title, and that's what I did even years prior to that. You know, like. All the years I've done a 6 minute, like, you know, since Serato has been introduced, and even the ones prior to that, just on normal vinyl, like everyone remembers that, you know? And so that's my contribution to the scene. Just, right. you know, good right. quality, just routines right. and not trying to half ass anything.
Yeah.
Now, a question out of my own ignorance, like when you're bouncing around and being a host and also like, you know, signature guest for an event, would someone be like, do the 2014 routine? Like, is that something you've ever brought back? Or once you win with it, is it kind of in the vault? And if you want to see
no.
on YouTube.
Yeah, I still do that. I'll still do vintage routines from like 2011 and all that. There's a couple new ones that I have as well. I think depending on how good it is, you know, like amongst your peers, that will determine whether, like, what the reaction you'll get live, like, post-battle scene and all that, you know? Like, so one thing for me back in 2001 was seeing, there's a juggle that Craze did. It was an Art of Noise juggle.
Yeah.
It was like, do, 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 And it was at the time, it was at 930 Club, and everyone knows how, like, you know, bombed the sound system was there. And so it was like a packed house, and you know, he ripped it. And so, like, it's cool to kind of see the same reaction, I guess, from, you know, other DJs now with, like, some of my routines.
Well, do you notice sort of some of the stuff gets lost in translation, and that something you do is so technically impressive that it goes over the crowd's head?
Yeah.
Do you have to scale back from doing that, or do you just do it?
Yeah, I think it all depends on the scenario and the situation. So, for example, there, like, I'm doing an Asia tour, like, in 2 weeks, you know? And so when you're playing out in that region, I mean, the only... And I don't mean this in the wrong way. The only country that's probably understands turntablism is probably like Japan, you know?
Yeah.
But the majority of other places, I'll pretty much just kind of party rock my whole way through. And I'll do like more crowd-friendly routines, not as technical. I'll, you know, throw in some body tricks, you know, do some strobing and all that. But yeah, because it's more so like it's going to go, you know, over people's heads, you know. And so the same thing with last year's set, you know, it's like I did my best to try and be super technical, you know, but still have some either, you know, oh shit moments or, you know, some memorable things here.
Something anybody could walk away with something.
Yeah, you know. For me, it's like it's kind of I just have to be prepared for just like how any DJ, you know, if you're going to DJ at a place, you know, it's you know, you're going to have a different, if you, you could be a resident at a club every Friday, you're going to have a different crowd every single week, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So every circumstance is different, you know, same thing with any of the shows I do. So.
Right.
Do you hold any residencies here now?
Or? No, not at the moment. So basically, I'm just straight touring.
You're free to do whatever.
Yeah, yeah. So like basically, once I won my first U.S. title back in 2005, mm-hmm. I won a couple other battles. I won Scribble Jam. I won Rock Raiders battle, and so it wasn't even on my radar to DJ full time. And so Rock Raider, rest in peace. He was the one that actually kind of took me under his wing and just basically provided me with opportunities to try and do it full time, you know.
Holy shit.
So since then I've been doing it ever since. What also helps me financially is basically like lessons as well, like, you know, doing private lessons. Shout out to the Beat Refinery.
Okay.
In the DMV. But yeah, so it's like you have to be kind of like a jack of all trades, you know, like
if you're
a musician in general, you know. Yeah, so those are my two main things that really help.
So you've put out a couple records. You've won some really big name battles. You've done the private lessons. You've done a lot of different things, like you said, being a jack of all trades. What's your favorite one to do?
Teaching.
Really?
Surprisingly. Okay. Yeah, I mean, like coming up with the routines are it's extremely exhausting, you know?
Yeah.
Draining, you know? Especially at the caliber and the level that, you know, I was doing it at.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to miss battling at all. I still enjoy going to battles and, you know, peeping the new talent. But teaching, I think, for me is like my what I love about it is, I mean, I always tell everyone, it's like, I tell everyone, everyone's talented in one way or another. I'm just there to kind of extract it out of them.
Right.
You know, and also to kind of cement a proper foundation for people that I didn't have, you know. That's extremely fulfilling. For example, there are certain scratches that, you know, it took me like up to like 8 to 9 months just to understand, comprehend,
right.
execute, you know, and now we got it down to a science. Now we could teach it to someone in like 10 minutes,
right.
You know, and watch them actually do that, you know.
Do you think that's a better way to learn?
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for like, you know, the DJ schools and all that, you know, even if you've been DJing for 20 years or even 30 years, you know, there might be a lot of things that you've been doing it, you know, doing the wrong way.
Yeah.
And we can, you know, break you out of those habits, you know, and that's the beneficial part of having a turntablist foundation, you know, because, or even if you learn on vinyl, like people who learn on vinyl, they're able to, you know, quote, downgrade onto CDJs, you know, because they're used to something moving, you know, whereas the CD DJs, you know, having a moving platter is like something completely foreign to them.
Right.
You know, so it's hard for that. They don't have the proper muscle memory or technique, you know. Uh-huh. So that's one thing I'm really proud of, just having students that I'm able to just, you know, send them out there and I know that they're ready for any sort of kind of situation and they don't have to kind of have much experience, you know, in the live field, you know. They, you know, they'll make some mistakes here and there,
right,
but for the most part they'll be pretty equipped.
Okay,
that's dope.
That is dope.
Can you teach me how to DJ?
Yeah,
I'll teach you how to Dougie.
Does anybody know how to Dougie in this room here?
Hell no.
Definitely not me. Yo, I got a question for you. So the VH1 Code of the Cuts, right? You were on one of those. Master of the Mix.
Why did he just make up a DJ?
What was Code of the Cuts? That was something else. So
that's like a haircut battle on VH1.
Yo, it was.
The best guy who can cut hair the best.
Yeah.
That was the different styles DJ competition.
The style is different.
Have we told you about different styles? You would be perfect for this.
No, what's that?
So with one of the earlier episodes, with this episode 82, it must have been like episode like 15 or 16.
Right.
We came up with a rap group called Different Styles, and there's like thousands of members in it, but they all have a style that's a little bit different. Like you got Stumpy D, who can't quite reach the mic. You got Mr. Lisp.
We got DJ D.I.
DJ D.I.
He's ill.
Yeah.
You know, someone will talk and you'll just hear something that sounds like it could be a rap name. Like the other day at work, someone said, well, when it comes to this, he's the judge and jury. And I was like, yo, that kind of sounds like a cool rap name.
Yeah, right.
Like one dude handles like 80% of the rhyming, but there's also like 12 guys as a hype man.
Well, I think my favorite one at the moment, someone has it. I think he's from this area. is Richard Mixon. I like that one.
That's actually pretty sick.
That's really dope.
But yeah, I can't think of.
That's all right.
Yeah. Oh yeah, but back to the it Mike's wasn't Code of the Cuts.
Now that I've planted that seed, the next 3 months of your life, every day there'll be like 50 popping in your head.
That'll work.
Like DJ Q Bart,
right?
Like how much?
It just hit me the hair with the Greek thing.
Right.
Yeah. Now it hit me.
Hairy Greek. You are a hairy Greek.
But you're not Greek, right?
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Okay.
I moved to Australia. No, I'm not Greek.
No.
I don't like feta cheese, so that I don't think it would work out.
How do you not like feta cheese?
You know, it's just, I feel like people overdo it. Like when people are like, do you want goat cheese? I'm like, just a little.
Oh my God. You can't overdo goat cheese in my book, man. Wow. That's the best.
What do you think about that?
Me?
Yeah.
I love goat cheese.
Goat cheese is amazing.
Actually, I was in New Orleans a week or two ago, and I had it was like a crawfish. They had like some sort of, French Quarter Fest. It was like crawfish. Mm-hmm. Goat cheese wrapped crepe with this like tomato-y creamy sauce. It was
good. Lord,
it was crazy.
Yeah,
if you're ever in New Orleans, go to Muriel's.
Yes. Yeah,
I'm actually going next week.
Yeah, Cole, you're going on Thursday, right?
Okay. I leave on Wednesday. Right. Yeah,
Muriel's.
Try some gutter clams. I'm from Merle. Delicious
gutter clams. I'm from Merlin, and I want to go to Muriel's.
I was thinking the same thing, that the place is actually called Mariel's. But it was just like Diamond District went there first, and they were like, yo, you got to go to Mario's, though.
Right.
Mario's. Mm-hmm. Have you done any cuts on any hip-hop songs?
Yeah, I think the last one I did, actually, there was one I was planning on doing for an Australian hip-hop artist by the name of Nyx. But the last cut I did before that was actually Bo Jenkins.
Oh, tight.
Nice.
Friend of the show.
Yeah, definitely. On his Motor Mouth
Who
EP.
Are you?
Okay.
Yeah, I think that was the last one. I think before that, I haven't done much cuts lately. You know, I've just been kind of like working on my own production. And,
okay. So what's the new album that you have out now that we can check for?
So Hot Feces, it's a free EP.
Feces?
Hot Feces.
Warm.
Warm.
Actually,
no, hot.
Hot.
Like hot. Okay. Yeah.
Like steam's coming off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that what the cover is? That
the cover is
the cover
like
is very nice looking.
Yeah, it's a like 3D rendered like turd. No bullshit.
Who did the
How do you know?
Did you do the
horseshit.
Art for that too?
Actually the my boy Mikola in the Ukraine, the one actually who did the Swollen Dome video. Who's done a whole he's done music videos for Snoop Lion.
Oh.
He did a couple other ones. Did a DJ Shadow music video.
Okay.
But actually, like, out of all the artists he's worked with, like, I don't know, I got, like, close to him the most. So, like, we'll Skype.
Yeah. It's like the video game one?
Yeah, that one, yeah. So he's, like, one of those 8-bit pixel artists. But then he does, like, graphic design as
okay,
well.
Okay, cool.
So shout out to Mikola.
That video won the Scribble Jam thing, right?
Actually, no, that was the other video game inspired one. So that was the Right. That was the one we did with Recognize and Jean Grey.
But you were involved in it, right?
Yeah. So it was my track featuring them.
Right.
And then, shout out to this dude, Chokes, in Miami. Basically, he did a lot of like music videos for like, you know, some major labels. And, you know, we laced him with the song. And he was like, you know what? I'm going to give you a whole bunch of crazy stuff. So like, in my opinion, like, I've seen a lot of music videos, you know, but like, it's one of the dopest music videos of all time.
Yeah.
Okay, you know? So what's it called?
It's called The Right. So it's DJ ID featuring Jean Grey and Recognize. And so basically it's a Grand Theft Auto theme like music video.
Okay.
And what they did was they like rotoscoped everything. So rotoscoping is basically they went frame by frame to like lace like all these like, you know, CGI images. And so we filmed it in Miami, like a couple blocks from like my apartment, and it looks straight like Vice City.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, check it out. It's on YouTube somewhere.
Sick. Yeah, we're going to go check that out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you did cuts on something like Sketch and Skrilla did recently, right?
Yeah. I did VA Tech 9, I think. Yeah, off Sketch's album.
Virginia Tech 9.
Virginia Tech 9.
Okay.
Yeah. Virginia so Tech 9, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to Sketch, who talks like this normally, and then he puts on his MC voice. Love that dude.
I met Sketch back in college.
Yeah,
I went to Virginia Tech.
Oh, you did?
And he was rhyming, and I had a radio show over there, so he would come up. He came up and freestyled a couple times.
Nice.
Yeah.
He beat me in a battle.
Did he really?
In front of EPMD.
What?
Yeah. Easy, it was a good battle. He was dope.
Which was battle that? Was that?
They used to have him at Errico Lounge down on U Street. See, it's funny, because I always, like, you're 28. By the time I started going down there, I was probably about 20, but it was closed within 10 years.
Okay.
But they had really good battles there. And so I remember Sketch, K Beta, all those dudes.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, a lot of talent.
I grew up in Herndon, so like Sketch and Bo, you know, got to hold it down for H Town. Fox Mill.
Absolutely.
Fox Mill.
Yo, no, I love Sketch, man. But, it takes some balls to really rep Fox Mill. And if you haven't been to Fox Mill is like, it's a nice area.
Yeah.
You know?
It doesn't.
So it's like, there's no guns or anything.
It doesn't inspire fear in people is what you're saying?
Nah. Okay. You know, if anything, maybe some psycho kid that's like, you know, making a pipe bomb or something. But
who's making a Virginia Tech 9
there
album.
You go.
Right.
You just need to be afraid of Sketch.
Yeah. But yeah, shout out to my boy Lil Dave.
You know why you don't notice that anybody's scared around there? Because every time you're there, you're with him and everyone's locked themselves in their houses.
Very true. Very true.
He's got his tall friend with him again. Get inside. Who else? Who would you like to work with if you could just pick?
Anyone?
Anybody.
Anyone.
Okay.
Anything even.
Anything. Actually, the one person that I listen to all the time that I would love to somehow collab with is a guy named Paul Hardcastle.
What? Never heard of him.
From the UK. So he did that Rainforest song. It was like a B-boy break from the 80s. It was like, if you heard the song,
keep going.
No, I'm sure you guys heard it, but he's like one of those like 80s punk, funk rather.
It's like new wave, like no wave or something.
Not necessarily new wave, but it was along those lines, but more funky, you know. It was very, I guess I could compare it to like Chromeo or something like that, minus the vocals.
Okay.
But like he started doing like a lot of smooth jazz from 95 forward. But
Paul Hardcastle.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to look that up.
Yeah, Paul Hardcastle.
You're not writing any of this down today.
Well, I'll listen to it back, but that sounds like such a porn name.
Paul
seriously.
Take your panties off Paul Hardcastle.
I heard the last name. I was like, Christ, where's he going with this one? Speaking of which, where'd you get the name ID?
First name Isaac, last name DeLima. Took the initials and just added the hyphen and then double E at the end.
Double E.
Went through a whole bunch of bad names. And
let's hear the bad
name. I want a bad name.
That seems to be the thing to do.
This could be its own different styles crew.
Oh my goodness. You know what? They were so bad, I don't even remember them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I went through...
You never did a Grandmaster or anything like that,
nah,
did you?
Hell no. Like, I mean, there was... I went through, like, the whole... I bought, like, a Transformers catalog of, like, all the characters.
Okay.
You know, from the series. And I was like, okay, let me just grab a Transformers name. But, like, all of them were taken.
You wanted to go deep in the roster,
Optimus Rhyme.
Okay. So, you know, or, like, DJ Soundwave or DJ Grimlock or whatever, you know. It was all...
What was the little car? The
Bumblebee.
I'm DJ Bumblebee. Like, nah, I'm not gonna be that.
Yeah. Cole, have we ever gone through any of your prior rap names or any whack ones? I know we put me on blast.
It's funny. I didn't really rhyme when I came up with the name C's, and then eventually, like, I started the rhyme. I was like, oh, I'll just put it on this. I didn't. Well, you know, I shouldn't say that. At one point, I think I did go by Kid C's.
Kid C's.
Now that I think
Kid C's.
Don't let me forget about Kid C's. Yeah. I remember writing that out about several hundred thousand times.
With the way you're like, you know, observational perspective stance at music, the name would actually be pretty fitting even to this day. Like, yo, this kid sees. He sees the world.
True. Well, I was like, but how long is this, like, on a practical level, how long is this name going to be applicable? Because one day I'll be 15. They'll be like, dude, what's wrong? Like, with Kid Frost, he's got to be like 57 and people like, come on.
No, he changed his name. His name is Frost.
Is it just Frost?
Is it just Frost?
Yo, his son actually makes pretty ill beats, dude.
Really?
Fuck is his name?
Is he Kid Frost Kid?
Scoop DeVille. You ever heard of his kid?
Scoop? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Dude, that's Kid Frost's son, dude.
What?
Yeah. Wow.
That's crazy. He makes good beats, though.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
I think he made a beat on a Kendrick album, or at least was a co-producer.
Yeah,
on,
he's
on
been
a
killing
album.
It on a lot of things, right?
Yeah,
now.
He did a song for like Demigods. It was pretty hot.
Wow.
Anyways, that's Kid Frost's song.
Wow.
Scoop DeVille.
Kid Frost, kid.
Trying to school you guys here.
You learn something new.
I'll clown myself one more time. So my first rap name, because it's similar to Cole K Chromosome. I don't know if it was originally meant to be like a rap name. And or at least one to market, and that's why it's done so well. But the one I tried to come up with was Cerebral, which is not that bad until you realize how I spelled it, and it was like Sir, like S-I-R, and then it was like E period, like Brawl, like my name was like Edward Brawl or something. It was awful.
And then you were King Money, right? What was the one on the soundtrack? King,
oh,
King something?
King Sweet.
King Sweet.
King Sweet. I sold a song to a movie called Mo that's about this kid that's dying. And they use the song. The kid's mom walks into the room and she's like, "What are you listening to?" And he's like, It's that new King Sweet. It makes me want to party.
Actually, we need that drop for the soundboard. Now.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
we definitely
need
that.
Speaking of drops, we got to get one from you.
Yeah. I would, yeah, we'd love that, man.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, give us like 8 different voices.
Good shit.
So Bobby's World, yes!
No, so I want to go about to the master of the mix thing, because I'm just curious. You know, I watched it. I saw you on the beginning. I was excited. I was like, yo, I know that dude. He's going to fucking win this shit. Then you got bounced pretty quickly. They didn't show a lot of the footage, but I'm assuming you got jerked. How hard was it to then watch? Not that, I mean, some of the guys on there are definitely good. But like as it got down to 8 and you're like, all right, I'm clearly better, because it was 20, right? And it got down to 8 or something, you're like, yo, I'm clearly better than like 4 or 5 of these people still.
Yeah,
at
of
this
course.
Point.
Especially the iPad DJ.
Yeah.
There was an iPad DJ. Dude. You know, and so like at the end of the day it's still reality TV. I'm still on a gag order until I think next year.
Okay.
But to put things into perspective, so like a competition like that where everyone does like a 3 to 5 minute set, you have 20 DJs, do the math, it should take an hour, whatever.
Right.
So to start at 4 a.m. and then go until like 1 a.m. the next day kind of shows that it's, you know, it's something else, you know.
You shot that whole time?
Just that one episode, you know, one. It was.
You were in one episode?
Yeah, just one.
The fuck did they... And is this the one that Chris Carnes was on and
JCO? Yeah. And so, for example, like, you know, all of them were basically telling me, like, you know, you got out at a good time. To put things in perspective, I won't say any names, but there was...
Kid
Capri. Well, there's two people in particular. I won't say their name. But one, his mother passed away. And so the producers try to use that, you know, as ammunition, you know.
That's so gross.
Yeah. What? And then the other thing, one of the guys was a cancer survivor. And basically, long story short, he was filming for like about an hour or so, like, you know, just doing an interview. And then, you know, they're asking all these questions and basically waiting for him to like shed a tear. And then once he cried, they were like, okay, boom, got it. You know, we got the shot.
Oh, that's the worst people on
that's
earth.
Awful.
Yeah, you know, and so, like, for example, like, what you don't see on the show is basically...
vultures coming out and pecking out the eyes of the people who left.
Yeah, but basically, like, Kid Capri as well. Like, you know, he's like... Because I know Kid Capri, and, like, he was like, oh, you know, like, what happened? You know, all this and that. You know, like, when the cameras are off. And I was like, dude, the turntables are, you know, fucked up.
Oh, they were fucked up?
Yeah, yeah. You know, and so... It's the mysterious thing about it was, you know, you have about an hour to an hour and a half in between each DJ's set, and you weren't allowed to leave. You know, there was no hospitality. You're stuck in a room.
Sounds terrible.
Yeah, it was very, very shady. But they got canceled. You know.
Yeah, it didn't. It seemed really just watching it. It seemed like it was unorganized.
Very unorganized, and not in the. It wasn't in the DJ's best interest, you know. They had a marketing plan, but I think the most important thing is, like, if you look at the Wall Street Journal, like, some of the articles on there you have to kind of pay to view,
right?
And so the parent company is Smirnoff, and then I can't remember what the parent company of Smirnoff is, but the vice president or CEO basically was talking about Master of the Mix, and he's like, and he said in clear, you know, words, but you're not going to find this in a Google search because it's one of those paid articles. But he's like, I don't care about Master of the Mix. My goal or my most important thing is to market vodka to gays, lesbians, and minorities. That was it. Wow. So the DJ battle was basically like a gimmick.
So. The awkward segue in the middle where they'd be like, you were kind of cutting it up today. Sort of like Maria over here who's cutting limes to go in this gin and tonic.
Oh, my God.
Corn juice.
Yo, fuck that show, man.
Let me ask you this. What is the penalty for breaking the gag order? I've always wondered about that on reality
TV. What is the gag order for, though? To talk about who won it? We'll talk
about at least my specific experience.
Nobody's listening to this show. I'm going to break that.
Yeah, no. But no, to be honest with you, I think their whole staff is just, you know, it's gone and all that. I mean, to be honest with you, even like when the gag order is up, it's so in the past that it's not even worth
right.
You know?
Right.
DMC World Champion since then.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
So. Fuck Master of the Mix.
Do you feel like that? Did you think about that at all? Like when you would be up, like right before you'd go on for like a last set, were you like, man, that experience, fuck that bullshit. I'm this good.
Here's the great thing about it, really, was that was the turning point for the show because I didn't even have to say anything. Like there were so many people, like Shortcut from the Beat Junkies, DJ Craze, my man Big Wiz, who DJs for ASAP. All of them basically were just like coming out of the woodwork, and it was like, you know what? We could see clearly that this was like some foul stuff. You know?
Yeah.
So to me, that was you know, the most satisfying part of it, just seeing that
they had you back.
And today or yesterday, Simon Cowell just announced like a DJ reality show again, another one, you know, with Steve Aoki as like the main judge, you know. So
that, he's gonna, like, you get to throw a pie in the audience.
Exactly, once again, you know. So I'm gonna throw a pie at his,
you're like, he's such Benihana. A good DJ, he throws pies at people,
right?
I really don't understand.
Right.
Yeah.
But, do you ever feel that any sort of bitterness towards the other genres and how maybe there's not a lot of turntablism that goes into the title DJ?
Well, I think Craze was basically, he brought that whole real DJing hashtag kind of back, you know? And so that was the, you still see that, you know, even it could be like an EDM fest like that A-Track's doing, you know, he'll still rock it. You know, there's still a very small amount of people that do it, but I think just even laid back Luke, a lot of people, you know, think like, oh, he's just a house dude, but he was like a hip hop DJ, and like he you know, he's talks a lot about like taste making, you know, and like really, you know, digging for like songs that no one else has. Like he's still an advocate for that, you know.
Right.
You know, so yeah, at the end of the day, you know, skills is timeless, you know. It's like you can't really, I mean, once this EDM phase, you know, kind of, you know, is done and over with and we move on to whatever the next thing is, you know.
You think that's going to happen?
I don't know. Maybe, you know, there'll probably be more subgenres that come out of it, you know.
Right. Are you into it?
I'm into it, you know. So, like, I have a lot of, like, EDM, like, influence on my, like, new EP, but I still try to bridge, you know, with my history, you know, and whatever. I try to please a little, you know, everyone, you know.
Right.
You know, because I'm kind of past just, I think with DJing in general. Well, there's two things. One, you know, there aren't as many non-DJs listening to, like, turntablist stuff, you know. And two, whatever I'm listening to at that moment, you know, I want to try and recreate or, you know, get inspiration from to kind of do my own take on it, you know.
Right.
So...
you bring back 90s hip hop juggles and stuff like that, you know. That's
we need the funk.
That's what I want to hear.
The funk.
Yeah.
Maybe like
focused on the funk.
Yeah. Like a Parliament Funkadelic like, juggle or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A Funk Dubious. I love
funk,
Sun Dubious.
The funky meters juggle. What's going on, man?
Nothing.
Right.
What's up with you?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. Mm-hmm. Thanks for coming out though, for sure.
Thank you for having me.
You know?
Appreciate it, man.
So, I love you.
What's the what's your schedule like coming up? People can find you at djidiee.net.
Yeah, correct. Or you could Google DJ I-DEE, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff will come up.
Are those like a necessary evil for you? Do you actually enjoy putting stuff up on social media?
You know what I like a lot? Most recently, Snapchat. Because I'm always shitting. And I'll just take a Snapchat of me on the shitter.
I can't tell if you're being serious again.
I'm dead serious.
Well, no, it's funny because you. So you have a song called IBS, and you and I mean, it's something we used to joke about. Do you have like is IBS a thing for you, or is like you just you want to shit twice a day? And
this interview just got
life.
So.
I've conquered IBS.
Have you really?
Yeah. Yeah. So
wait, say that. I missed that. What was that?
Yeah. So I have a song called IBS off my second album, where it's my attempt at rapping. Well, that whole album's me. It's my attempt at rapping.
It's very good. And I was telling you off air, it reminds me a lot of Prince Paul kind of stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
Very clever, very good concepts. But more about the poop.
So, yeah, so like 5 years ago, whatever, like I took some really bad antibiotics. In a nutshell, went to see a homeopath, acupuncturist, and but so I've been like basically all about poop and just you know, I'll always look at it, you know, see what kind of shape it is, you know, the color, the texture, the smell.
Just to make sure everything's okay, or
you know, just you got to make sure. I mean, you could, because you know, tell a lot about your health, you know, in the stool.
Well, that's the thing is sometimes you take a shit and you're like,
no,
I don't need.
I want to know. I want to know some.
Sometimes you
here.
Take a shit and you're like, I don't need to look at that. I know what happened.
Right.
Yeah.
Thai
yeah.
food and then the drinks. You don't want to look at it.
If it floats, that means you know you're having too much fat, you know, in your diet.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. So you want to make sure it sinks.
And very, very green means you were into the red wine.
Say what?
He said very green means you're into the red wine.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Pretty much.
What the fuck?
Pretty much.
Does traveling make that difficult, or you're just shitting all over the place?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I always try, in general, I always try to just eat clean. I did a lot of harm to my body, like with drinking.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
clean living is the way to go.
typical food over the course of a day while you're on the road.
Let's see, one of those Kind bars, you know, those or Cliff Bar.
Okay.
I don't know. Sandwich.
Like if you go out to eat at like a Denny's, what are you getting?
Actually breakfast.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a sucker for
oh hell yeah.
Breakfast 24/7, you know.
Yeah.
Pancakes and bacon.
It's tough
eggs.
To do breakfast healthy though.
Yeah.
There's like syrup on everything.
Yeah, scissor. Yeah, but I mean
that's a different style. Is actually a compilation that's coming out next year. Everything. It's called Syrup on Everything.
Stupid. Scissor. But yeah, I just love food in general.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll eat anything as long as it's not like, you know, dog.
It makes it, right. Well, that's the thing is I'm the same way. Like, when people are like, do you mind if we go to a vegetarian place? I'm like, nah, that's cool. They're like, dude, I've seen you eat ribs. I'm like, if it tastes good, I'll eat it.
I was actually vegan for 2.5 years.
Okay.
And prior to that, I was that guy making fun of vegans.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You sound a lot like Steve Bills.
Yeah. I was that guy, and then I went vegan for like two and a half, 3 years.
Is it now... Did you not like vegans who were the only way you knew they were vegans is because they told you about it every 5 fucking seconds?
Yeah, and also I had two friends that work for PETA, and the stories I heard from them, which they don't no longer work for, but like I heard stories about people getting fired for vacuuming ants.
Wow.
No bullshit.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean,
yeah, I'll kill an ant even oh, wow. in my vegan days. Right, ants gotta go, man.
Right. I have several ants at home just waiting for me.
Right,
they know it's coming. As soon as the key hits the lock, they're like, "Oh shit." Yo, right, DJ ID.
Thank
you so much for coming through.
Of course, thank you for having me.
All right, let's wrap this up. We can do another episode after he bounces. So,
and
thanks for coming through, homie.
We're gonna play a track from your new album, Hot Feces.
Yeah.
DJID.net.
There you go.
Thanks, homie.
I love you guys.
I love you too.
Thanks, bro.
Good to see you, man.
Appreciate it. All right, episode 82 in the books.
Can we get a drop for you real quick?
Yeah, hold up.
Why she wanna stick me for my paper? Damn. Why she wanna stick me for my paper? Damn. Why she wanna stick me for my paper? Damn. Why she wanna stick me for my paper? wanna stick me for my paper? Damn. Why she wanna stick me for my paper? Damn. Why she wanna stick me for my paper? Damn. Why she wanna stick me for my paper? Damn. Why she wanna stick me for my paper? Damn. Why she wanna stick me for my paper? Damn. Why she wanna stick me for my paper? Damn. Why she wanna stick me for my paper?